that we can address some things in the district. But she did a very good job this morning. She wasn't talking about the relation to classes, but there could be an impact there on how we deliver some content to some places. But I think that's one, I think we do have to look at it this year. I think we have to look at the programs. I know, and again, I don't want to sound like it's not taking place. Since Dr. Einhorn came in, I know that they've been reviewing our offerings at the high school level. Again, I'm kind of a rock in a hard place. Elementary, we don't have much room to move in offerings. Echo, we don't have much room to move in offerings. So you really, when you start looking at offerings, it's treasure map in the high school. So I know they started that process.
Electives.
Electives, expanded offerings. It's where early release and late start come into haunt us. As far as class sizes. So again, they'll be looking at that. And I think that's going to be our job moving forward on that. So I think we all share the same concern about the sustainability, but I think the reality is, I've looked at the budget for 5 years, 6 years, whatever it is now, everybody here has been looking at the budget. There's no significant cut. I'll say this and let me make sure I'm saying it right, but there's no significant cut, significant being the key word, unless one of two things happens. We cut programs, or we change our delivery mechanism for some of our programs.
When you say cut programs, when I came in, I thought misguidedly that there was lots of staff to cut. The district office, I'm convinced, that's absolutely not true. I've never seen people do more jobs with a leaner staff. I've looked everywhere, and I'm convinced, and I think Vern, who's, you know, most even more conservative than I am, would agree there's only two avenues. One is you either cut or hold the salaries, or increase class size. When you try increasing class size, and that went over, I mean, you think that would be tough. You remember when you tried to increase trying to play Crescent, people wouldn't be nuts about that. And so, you know, I think that is kind of untenable with the public. And to attract teachers, I mean, we have a very good teacher contract. I don't think it could be much richer. But those are the only two things. You can play Crescent. To me, you're talking about programs, you're talking about the margins. The real money is either increasing class size or cutting salaries. If you don't do one of those two things, I mean, you're talking about things like extra saving paper costs, which is just at the margins, which doesn't make a lot. When you say cutting programs, you're not going to save a lot of money, I don't think, in cutting programs.
Except if you look at a program and the implicated staff.
But what kind of program?
Ember's given a perfect example is the reading program, the 600,000. I mean, a few of those add up to a lot. I don't know, because we really haven't been privy to some of these programs and what their deliverables are yet.
Well, but I think we've been privy to them, but we haven't asked for the budget to be presented in a program format. That's true. We have asked for it to be presented in a line item format, and that is the way. Well, I think there also isn't necessarily, until next year or so, data to pull for some of these programs.
Well, there, and I agree with Bill. There is, and it's just a question, and I got my first agenda request today from Nancy to look at some of those programs like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but again, I think to Charles's point, when I say programs, that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about, like where we're going to be cutting things we're doing, because I think it was, 2 years ago, somebody made the statement, cutting budgets in education is like squeezing a sausage, to some extent, right? You squeeze it, so we can come in and say, okay, we're going to, and I'm just using a hypothetical, and please nobody quote me on this, right? We're going to cut X, Y, Z at the high school, right? We're not going to offer this anymore, whatever that is, right? Well, the reality is, let's say there's 120 students in that.
Yeah,
those 120 students go somewhere, so now you either have larger class sizes, or you come up with another offer. I mean, that's kind of a rock and a hard place. I think we have to start looking at alternative forms in some of these things. We have to look at where some of our pressures are. I mean, I think the number last year, and Todd, I don't know if you've met, it was like we had 1,400 periods of class miss for early release and the late start.
Oh, yeah, I don't recall.
In the high school. That's putting pressure in other areas.
On the rest of the day, that increases the number of speech classes. That's true.
Now, all that being said, and I want to get this up, I fully support spending money on education. I think the results that we've seen in this district are excellent. I think they're getting better, even. I think they're going to get better.
They're trending in the right direction.
You know, the high school was rated number 388 yesterday in the country. By one outlet. It was rated 303 by the Washington Post. We had the top two AP students in the state last year. So again, I think someone's got to take back and say, okay, are we getting value for what we're spending? And I would argue we are. But I also understand that it's not unlimited and we have to keep an eye on where we head with it. If it's okay, I just want to clear up a couple of things from the other night. And I don't want to dominate, but you know, part of it is I don't want Todd taking the blame for certain things. I'm not trying to be nice to him either, but it's, I think it's fair. The judgment levy, I just want to go through them. So the judgment levy, for the record, we all know this, but since we, no, I want this on the record, possible. The judgment levy was an appealed assessment of a property, a commercial property in town. Improperly assessed.
And they used the wrong form.
And the key to that, for the public to understand, is so everybody's payments artificially came down because of that higher assessed valuation during that period. Because again, with the floating rate, everybody got a little bit of a discount when that was still on the books. Of course, when it comes off the books, entities have a choice of either filing a judgment levy or accepting the loss. Obviously, when we're talking about a tax increase, we're not in a position to accept the loss and then add on something else. So, again, I want to make clear that wasn't a mistake made by the district in terms of the assessment or anything like that. It was the decision made to recapture money that we were owed from the previous tax cycle. Assessed valuation, again, we don't assess the homes. We don't work with the county assessor to change people's assessed valuations. So,
and when an assessed valuation goes up, the rate is dropped.
Right. So a lot of other people benefit. I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's a weird dynamic. I sympathize with the person who says, you know, the assessed valuation goes up 30% and his tax bill goes up 30%. But the piece that we've affected is not changed in that. His assessed valuation went up in that. That's not us doing it. The school district doesn't assess properties. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, so to speak, but again, I think sometimes that's a misunderstanding out there. The last 2 points as far as taxes that I want to make is state funding continued. You know, our state funding has dropped $7 million since the first year I was on the board. Did not receive from the state, directly or indirectly. It's just gone down consistently. I would like to see more effort made, not just the board makes an effort, but from the community to contact legislators, contact people who actually make those decisions to get some of that funding back. I mean, especially in the years when growth was being funded and we didn't have growth. It looks great in the newspaper, but it doesn't do much for us. And equalization, and you know, the big two things about equalization. So to clear up a misconception, when we raise property tax rates, that does not go into equalization as it currently stands. But we still contribute a lion's share of income tax and state tax that goes into the pot and gets distributed amongst a number of. Depending on how you want to look at the statistic, at one point we funded 19 school districts with the amount of money that came out of the income tax. Right. So
we funded 18 districts, total WPU contributions.
So I don't think, would I be optimistic that we're going to change people's minds? No, but I think people in the community have to start contacting people in the legislature to at least bring that forward.
I think that DCES, by the way, having a legislative arm is excellent.
I think it's going to be great. And you know, again, we're sort of in an interesting place here at Clark City, because I think our legislators, our representatives are willing to listen to us. We all know what happens when we leave the boundary and start talking to some other people. We don't get the same response.
And again, what you just said about state funding, it would benefit the other districts so much more. We're fortunate here. We do have a valuation wizard and can afford, if you will, to have tax rates that I think are still very reasonable, property tax rates, and among the lowest in the country still, and even with this increase. And the real benefit to more state funding would be to the poorer districts in the rest of the state. Those that don't have the wherewithal with valuation to tax themselves much more than the LA are.
Yeah, the benefit of us would be, which is really the pressure I'm trying to take money from us. I think in the big picture.
Yeah.
But I'd settle for that.
Yeah, with respect to equalization.
Yes. Yes. So that was all the points I wanted to make. Further discussion?
The only other point I would make to the mental health is that even with this tax increase, We're still not even with the state as a, excuse me, the national average for expenditures and suits.
Even total first year.
Yeah.
10.8
or 10.
I'm falling behind DC. The club
is
behind DC.
Oh, well, it's
almost
good school. I'm talking about the average, not the median. So it wouldn't be correct to say that we're in 26th place. But there are several that are real high that bring that average up, I agree.
But
there's certainly Mississippi and ourselves that really bring it down.
But
I've heard this discussion before.
And it must have been true. The unfortunate reality is we live in Utah, right? And it'd be great to spend $15,000 or whatever New Jersey spends, but that's not realistic. With the way the taxes are set up and the WPU and everything else.
Do you know which education funding has increased over the last 10 years?
I think the key here, again, I'm sure you guys have heard this discussion, because I know this triangle's had this numerous times. But I think one thing that the superintendent's been doing this year, and I think this is more relevant, even though I agree, you know, we have to look at every comparison, but let's look at districts that are successful. Let's look at where they're spending some of their money. Let's look at the results where they're getting results. You know, you can say DC, but at the same time, you go to Arlington, Virginia, and you have school districts there that are spending more than us and having some great results.
Demographics.
Yeah, the demographics. I'm matching the demographics.
Be all the end up.
Right. And that's
what we're talking about. Great results?
Absolutely. I actually met with a guy last week, and I still can't believe it. I should have called you to come with me. He's on Rick Perry's school reform committee that was formed down in Texas. And same thing, just within the Austin where he lives, it's a 440,000 student school district, right? One side, he has 2% free and reduced lunch, the other one has 40% free and reduced lunch. And that's where the school is at. Right, same money being spent, as far as that goes. But then he did say they have an Ed Foundation in this part that puts money into the schools over here, right? All those things. So, again, we need to continue to build up the Ed Foundation in the sense of money that can't be touched. I think we've said that for years. But also, I think, you know, I do like Nancy's point of looking at some programmatic questions.
I don't disagree. When we come down with 85% going to personnel, is it 85? Then you're talking about at the margins. You need to start talking about who we're going to cut or whose contract we're going to reduce. Anything else is just kabuki theater.
But the percentage of actual teachers that are teaching licensed staff is not 85.
No, 60.
55.
I was up 60.
But, you know, you're going to get there, and I just looked at it. It's a couple of top private schools in New York that are now incorporated blended learning into their classrooms, right? And they're doing things that actually, they're lowering their staff counts by using it, but they're all, they're delivering the same quality because they're bringing in graduate assistants into the classroom. They need classroom time from NYU, from Columbia, places like that, to partner with teachers. My daughter's in a class at Treasure Mountain with Donna Hall, and she had a teaching assistant from high school, and the kids love having her in the classroom. It's almost like somebody slightly above their peer level that they can relate to, but with a quality teacher giving guidance, right? So you have a situation where, even though it's a larger class, they're probably getting 17 to 1 sort of coverage because you have that person in the classroom. So I think, I agree with you as far as the staff costs. It's awful hard to do it, but there's got to be some fundamental shifts maybe in how we allocate those resources.
And looking ahead, Berman, your point, keep students like this, you run out of your ability to tax.
You know, with the current caps on the
right. Unless that changes, you're going to run into a brick wall.
Okay, my last comment, I would like us to set up a meeting in February, get a couple of us to meet with some more legislators. I don't think we ever have a chance of talking about the board levy cap being changed. I think that's legislative control, they'll like that. But I really would love to talk to them about taking away the cap on the voter levy.
I would like to talk to them about boundaries.
Well, maybe we'll just invite them in for a lunch on that, because it's getting to that time of year when they need to hear from us. But I think, you know, the voter levy thing to me appeals to everything they say, which is local control and letting local people make the decision, not even the school boards, right? So the voter levy would be, we want to raise the issue of community choices, and that's it.
I don't understand the argument of contrary. Community wants to vote, to tax themselves, take their education, a lot of things, for them to do it.
I agree.
To me, it's so anti-conservative, it's unbelievable.
So you'll lead us on that?
Absolutely.
Perfect.
You had something you suggested.
Just a comment with regards to the sustainability. I don't disagree that the current expenditure patterns aren't sustainable into the future. But if you're using the documents I've been putting out, there are some major assumptions in those numbers as you get to those out years. One, for example, just got the notice from Utah Retirement Systems for what their preliminary rates will be for next year. We've been experiencing 8 to 10% increases in retirement for the last several years. They're proposing a no percent increase for next year.
Really?
So
they're all caught up.
They're not. It's not that they're caught up. They had made some statements about how they were going to readjust and start to recapture what they called the unfunded actuarial liability of the system, and that they needed to do an accelerated thing at this earlier juncture, but it wasn't known for how long. Some people thought 5 years. It could go longer depending on investment returns. Well, anyway, all of that said, the preliminary numbers that they pushed out last night show a 0% increase in the main system, so the ones that we participate in.
Are we treated differently than the county or the city?
As far as participation in the retirement system?
So does the county have received an increase and we not?
I'm not sure. I would have to go look and see what pool they're in.
I can tell you it's worked the other way because my wife she works at a state hospital and they did not get hit with an increase.
I know the state's different than the schools, but I don't know how the local government, I don't know which pool they're in.
They got their notice of their increase today.
I ran down to payroll and said, did you see this?
Well, maybe so. They're 2 years to get hit with the bill.
But then the legislature gets to take hold of their documents and they get to make some funding decisions for the system as well. So don't take it to the bank yet. The reason I call that out is on that forecast, there was one line on there that was nearly $500,000 a year, representing an 8% increase annually over the next 4 or 5 years. Well, one thing like that, for at least 1 year, you don't have an 8%. It could come in at a no percent increase. And so that changes how much that tax line was. It drops it by that $500,000. There's a compounding effect because you're not building that into the base of the subsequent years. So there are things that will happen to us that will change that. This is one in the positive direction. I can't say things might happen the other way. But this is a big one.
They've never been, in my tenure, less
than the prior year.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, something may go down, but just as likely something else, insurance something else, goes up by a corresponding amount.
And so I'm just calling it out. When you look out 5 years, that we haven't locked in that's what's going to happen. Things change. And also we step out of the current contracts at the end of this school year. So there's three more lines that are now subject to change that will be decision based.
Those projections that you saw were based on just continuing the steps as current. And then, unless you're talking about renegotiating a contract and reducing the contract, then you didn't get no savings up for what that projection was.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have good discussions during negotiations. Because I don't think things going less than the prior year, but the growth pattern could be very different.
The incremental
increases could be
based on this current set of money.
There are several dimensions of the contract that grow at different rates. So I'm just suggesting that it's not locked in. Yes, sustainability is a concern. The magnitude of that sustainability challenge may be different as we get closer to each of those years as we move along.
Good one.
Okay. Further discussion? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Please note that was unanimous.
Please
abstain. 4-0 with Board Member Kenner abstaining. Thank you. And
yes,
no. So it's a work session on September 12th.
Motion adjourned session.
Moved by Nancy, seconded by Tanya. Further discussion on that. All those in favor?
Aye.
Please note that was unanimous.
Where is it? Here?
Here. Right.